NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Military personnel streamline your VA refinance even if you're over 100% equity. No appraisal needed. Call 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
This is the Mike Rosen Show.
Adjectives on the typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter. If somebody.
Mike Rosen.
You got to see it all.
On News Radio 850 KOA.
All right, there are so many issues of great import circulating now, not only in the state of Colorado. We covered a few of those with the governor. Nationally, internationally, you've got all this unrest in Egypt. We've got the George Zimmerman trial. You've got the prospect of increasing federal deficits and spiraling national debt. But I think the one question on the minds of just about everybody, not only in the state of Colorado, but around the globe for that matter, is whether or not Walker Stapleton is going to run for re-election as state treasurer. And we may find out momentarily what the answer to that question is.
Drum roll, please.
Wait a second. Oh. I don't really have a drum roll.
You do. Yes.
It's a 7-minute drum roll.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very long drum roll.
Okay.
Yes is the short answer. I'm very pleased. We announced just a few minutes ago, actually sent a press release out, that I'm very excited to continue my work as treasurer for the state of Colorado and protect and defend the taxpayers of Colorado and work on common sense fiscal legislation that I think will enable Colorado hopefully to see a better future for generations to come. It's really one of the reasons why I ran in the first place and why I'm excited to continue the work as treasurer.
How much of this is a factor of your not being able to find a job in the private sector in this economy?
Actually, zero. as my wife will tell you, I had a very happy life. Running a publicly traded real estate company, which we took private, and it afforded me the opportunity to run for office. And I promised my wife that as soon as I woke up one morning and felt like I could no longer make a difference, I would happily return to my life in the private sector. But I feel like we've made a lot of difference in the treasurer's office on a whole number of different issues. And so today we announced about 150 community and business leaders from around the state of Colorado. My campaign, the honorary co-chairs are former Senator Hank Brown, Bill Owens, and John Souther, three individuals who I have an immense amount of respect for, given their public service here in Colorado.
Well, given the fact that the Denver Post is devoting so much of their space toward attacking Scott Gessler, they haven't really spent much time attacking you.
No, well, we sometimes getting press is not a good thing. And I say that because sometimes the press is not positive press. And I think there's something to be said. You know, everybody goes about their job differently, whether it be in the public sector or private sector. But my point of view has been it's best to keep your head down, do the job, get positive legislation passed, as our office has done over the last couple of years. And people will recognize that you're there to do a job. And that's kind of the guiding principle that we've worked under in the treasurer's office.
You have been outspoken in your call for fundamental reform of the public employees retirement system, PERA,
correct,
in Colorado. You've explained this on the air once before. I've repeated it on several occasions, but let me ask you to corroborate that what I've said is true. The PERA board is made up of how many people?
15 members.
People. And those people are, for the most part, elected by PERA members and PERA beneficiaries. Is that correct?
Yes. 12 of the 15 members of that board have a direct economic interest or a benefit from PERA, who sit in a corporate governance position on the board.
And that's you correct. Are the only elected official who's on the PERA board. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So that accounts for 13 positions. The other two, are those appointed by the governor?
No. I'm position number 12, but because I'm a state worker, and I think this gets lost in some of my criticism, I myself am a PERA member as well.
But you're nonetheless,
right.
in spite of the fact that you're a PERA beneficiary,
right.
You are an advocate for serious PERA reform.
That's correct. And only 20% of the members of the board are non-PERA beneficiaries, and those are the three gubernatorial appointees.
All right. And how has Governor Hickenlooper were done in appointing people to the Pera board who have an interest in the taxpayers' welfare?
I think he's actually done quite well. He's only made one appointment. He made an appointment last year of an individual who I think has done a very fine job of taking a look at Pera's liabilities and assessing them and being being a prudent advocate for, I think, very needed structural changes to the plan. So I think that he's been a helpful voice on the board for sure.
All right. But the Pera board is clearly dominated by people who have an interest in their own welfare, not
right.
The taxpayer welfare.
That's true. That's very true. And that's why it's tough to get any change, because there's nothing that aligns interests like what's in or what's not in one's wallet.
Here's the story that I wanted you to corroborate.
Mm-hmm.
As I recall, you told me when you first were elected and introduced to the other members of the Pera board at a meeting that the Pera counsel, the Pera lawyer, told you that you have no standing to defend the interests of taxpayers on the Pera board. Is that correct?
That's correct. That my service on the board is to the benefit members of Pera and not to any larger community.
What did you say to that?
It's been defined. Well,
what authority did he base that assertion?
I basically think that my point of view is on behalf of the beneficiaries, because I'm trying to make sure the plan is solvent. But it's also a matter of fact that the reason that I'm on the Pera board is because more Coloradans voted for me for treasurer of Colorado than didn't vote for me. And so as a result, I'm a statewide elected official on the board. So that's an argument which is actually playing out actually in the courts as a result of my lawsuit for financial information against the pension system.
Was his pronouncement valid that you have no standing to defend the interests of taxpayers on the Pera board?
It's actually I'm not a lawyer to pick up on the governor, but it's something they're arguing, these fiduciary responsibilities, the role of dual hat. But I think that to put those type of blinders on is not necessarily operating in the best interest of corporate governance.
Was he successful in persuading you not to defend the interests of taxpayers?
No, he was not.
So you're going to continue to do that?
Yeah, I'm going to continue to speak my mind about a sustainable retirement system that Colorado can afford. And promises that Colorado as a state can afford to make for public workers. And the bottom line, Mike, is that the state of Colorado is making promises to 500,000 public workers that they cannot afford to make right now. And the people that are going to be left holding the bag in the system are new workers coming in and current workers who are younger, not the retirees and not the people that are close to retirement. It is very inequitable across generations, unfortunately.
The mentality of the Pera administrators and the majority on that board is, what the hell? If our investment portfolio isn't able to earn the returns that we are assuming,
right,
sufficient to pay the benefits that have been promised, what the hell? The taxpayers have to stand behind those promises and have to kick in as much money as necessary to make sure that those promises are kept.
Right. And the fancy counting term for that is called deferred liabilities. And the way that other states, unfortunately, have dealt with this problem is they've allowed these deferred liabilities to build up and build up and build up until they end up bankrupting a school district or a city before they address reform. And last week, Pera announced its return, more than 12.5% for a year, which I think is great. I mean, all of us want the system to do well because we don't have to want to be left with having to pay a bill that we shouldn't have to pay, right? The point is, they failed to mention that the year before they got 1.9%, and then they selectively used data like, well, over 10 years we achieved better than 8%.
Or 30 years.
Or 25 years. And it's like, well, what happened to 5 years or 15 years or 20 years or beyond 25 years? And the data is manipulated and presented in a way that offers the best case scenario for them. Look, this is not a marketing presentation. This is a real fund with real consequences for Colorado families and Colorado kids and future generations in our state. And we got to get this right. It's not right now.
And our concern is about the next 30 years, not the last 30 years, the kind of market run-up we've had in market indexes like the Dow.
Right.
Over the past 30 years, certainly the first 20 years of those last 30 years were phenomenal. There is no likely way in the world we're going to match those kinds of investment returns in the future.
That's absolutely right. And as I joked with you on prior appearances on your show, I think you've been talking about this issue since I was in Little League. But But the point being is that, look, Mike, if you look at you have an investment background, as do I. If you look structurally at Para's portfolio, it's $40 billion. A quarter of that portfolio is in fixed income. I was at a conference with one of the former chief economists at the World Bank, and he said fixed income over the next decade is going to perform less than the rate of inflation and be a very low performing investment class to be invested in. And the point is, if you have a quarter of your portfolio, he actually predicted it would return 1% fixed income investments, which I thought was low. But say he was, you know, off by a lot and it returns 2% or 2.5%. The point is, if you have a quarter of your portfolio in fixed income, the only way you can average out 8% is by taking outsized risk in the stock market, in equities or in venture capital or private equity or real estate. And that's totally fine if you're investing for yourself and your own family. It's not so fine if you're making investments for an investment fund that's structurally backfilled by taxpayer money.
All right. 713-8585, our telephone number. If you'd like to put some questions or make some comments to Walker Stapleton, our state treasurer, good time to do that. Right back on 850 KOA.
NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Military personnel streamline your VA refinance even if you're over 100% equity. No appraisal needed. Call 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Walker Stapleton, our guest in the studio, he's the state treasurer, and he is going to run for re-election. I've been commending Walker during his tenure for being one of the few voices among elected officials that's really serious about fundamental reform of PARA. This is a ticking time bomb, and not just in Colorado, but all over the country. For example, Illinois, vastly underestimated its pension funding shortfall. Moody's Investor Services reported that Illinois' true unfunded pension liability in 2011 was nearly 65% higher than the state's official estimate. Moody's calculated the unfunded liabilities for Illinois, the third largest state-run pension plan in the country, at $133 billion compared to the state's official calculation of $81.3 billion. What's more, there's something called the GASB, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, not to be confused with the FASB. That's the right. Financial Accounting Standards Board that the private sector uses. And the GASB now is going to drop its standard for what states should assume as a return on their investment portfolio. Moody's is also going to change its approach to this. And Moody's is now going to be targeting 5.5% as the assumed rate of return for these pension plans, not the 8% that Colorado is using or the 7.5% that California is using.
And that's very problematic for Colorado, Mike, because if you look at data that was released last summer by the National Association of State Retirement Administrators, who actually looks at all these public pension plans, they show now that approximately 69 public pension plans across the country are below 8%, and about 43 of them are at 8%, and some even greater than 8%. But the problem is that when you lower the rate of return by approximately 0.5%, the funding goes down. We're only 63% or so funded at 8%. That funding goes into the 50s and the 7s. And if we were to adopt something like Moody's wants us to adopt, we would have a pension that is less than 50% funded, which is a disaster. And so it's a big problem. Another problem with the Government Accounting Standards Board and their regulations, which are, in my opinion, woefully inadequate and inferior to the Financial Accounting Standards Board, which governs private sector pension plans, is that the Government Accounting Standards Board refuses to adopt any sort of uniform system to measure a state's liabilities, so that Colorado assumes 8%, California, CalPERS and CalSTRS, their two pension plans out there, are at 7.5%. Indiana is at 6.75%. It's impossible to compare liabilities from a state-to-state basis when you're using different financial assumptions. And yet the Government Accounting Standards Board refuses to create any uniform system so that we can actually get a handle on these liabilities.
All right. Now, PARA put out a message just recently bragging about how well it did in its investment portfolio. You mentioned that earlier. And then an outfit called Secure PARA, the Colorado Coalition for Retirement Security, put out this email. I happen to have a copy of it here. And Walker, you're featured in here. Congratulations. Let me just read the lead.
I'm so surprised.
Today, the Para Board of Trustees released their comprehensive annual financial report, which showed a 12.9% rate of return on their investments for 2012. The number far exceeded the board's assumed 8% rate. Here's your part. Since being elected in 2010, Colorado State Treasurer Walker Stapleton has consistently called Para's 8% expected rate of return overly optimistic and unattainable. Today, he was proved wrong. Over the last 30 years, Para has averaged a 9.4% rate of return. Over the last 10, 8.4%. Treasurer Stapleton was not present at the meeting today and hasn't attended a Para board meeting in 12 months. I'll give you a chance to comment about that. Our state treasurer is drastically out of touch with the realities of public employees and Para. His misinformation over the past year has needlessly concerned folks about the state of Para's finances. They didn't mention my name in here, but I've been needlessly explaining to the folks that the emperor has no clothes for about 20 years on this topic. So why haven't you been to a Para board meeting in 12 months?
Well, that is, as it turns out, categorically false. I myself voted against maintaining the 8% rate of return at our board meeting in November. So unless somebody was dressed up looking a lot like me, or unless they've decided to clone me in some way, I don't know how that could be possible. Probably a clerical error on the person who put out the press release, I'm sure. But obviously say that with a massive dose of sarcasm. But the point is that, look, no economist would read a release like that, whether he be a Republican or Democrat or a Keynesian or a capitalist or a fan of Friedman or anything else, and believe that press release has any sort of validity whatsoever. Everybody knows that the solvency of Para is based on a 30-year average return assumption and not a single year's worth of returns. And just because they achieve that in 1 year, the answer is, what are they going to achieve in a 30-year period?
Let me give you a benchmark. Since they're using 30 years, in 1982, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was 875. 30 years later, in 2012, it closed the year at 13,104. That means it multiplied by about 15 times over that period of time, an increase of just under 1,500%. Today, if we start from a DJIA of 15,000, and actually it's a little higher than that now, it's close to 15,300, to match that same performance over the prior 30 years, 30 years from now, the Dow would have to go from 15,000, you ready, to 225,000. 225,000. Now, the Dow is, of course, only one index.
Right.
But it's a good indicator of what market returns in general have been over that period of time. And this is not going to be repeated, especially with economic growth as meager as it is.
And this idea that, you know, that a 30-year time window is accurate as a barometer for the economy, most economists will tell you economic cycles have been more compressed with the dot-com bust, with the housing market bust that we've experienced, and it's not correct to look back to a 25-year or 30-year time horizon. Another reason why this press release is not only false, misleading, and disingenuous, I can think of a couple more adjectives if put to the test, is that the fact this rate of return has been all over the news. And my favorite quote is Michael Bloomberg saying, if somebody promises you a 7% rate of return, you should take it immediately and hope that their name isn't Madoff. The last time I checked, Michael Bloomberg wasn't a staunch conservative, but he actually might know a little bit more about finance and investing than the folks here in Colorado.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, tell us just who is the Colorado Coalition for Retirement Security. Is this some kind of an objective group making an arm's length analysis and considering the interest of taxpayers or not? Right back on 850 KW.
NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Military personnel streamline your VA refinance even if you're over 100% equity. No appraisal needed. Call 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Walker Stapleton, our guest in the studio. Oh, by the way, I should definitely mention this. You've still got some time to sign up for our Man Cave contest at 850 KOA. No charge, no obligation. We're combining with Scottish Home Improvements to help you build the ultimate man cave. You can enter to win home upgrades from Scottish Home Improvements, furniture from Furniture Row, and flooring from Carpet Mill Outlet Stores. The deadline to enter is tomorrow, July 12th. Sign up right now at 850KOA.com. Let's take a couple of phone calls. In Littleton, Carolyn, you're on 850KOA.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering if Mr. Stapleton had seen the article about the SEC filing a suit against Victorville, California, and the underwriter in the municipal bond deal of 2008.
I have not seen that particular article, but that's, you know, that's something that's going on, you know, all over the country with if a municipal deal goes wrong. What interested you about the particular article? And I'll see if I can respond.
Well, in particular, they're alleging fraud.
Right.
That the underreporting of the pensions solvency
right.
is a major question as to whether or not the underwriters should be issuing the bonds at all.
Right.
Well, and once you bring in those underwriters into the case,
yep.
who's going to issue the bonds?
Well, that's a very good point. And this is also playing out right now in Stockton, California, with their bankruptcy in Stockton, where basically you have bondholders who've made investments believing one set of financial things versus the pensioners. And when a city goes bankrupt like Stockton, somebody has to get paid. And the question is, who's going to get paid as the bankruptcy resolves itself? Are the bondholders going to get paid ahead of the pension system, or is the pension system going to get paid ahead of the bondholders? And this tension as cities go bankrupt because of these unsustainable pension liabilities is playing out all over the country. Let me just quickly say one of the pieces of legislation here in Colorado, and it's not directly attached to this, but I think it will help with it, is we passed a groundbreaking debt consolidation piece of legislation last year in Colorado. And to do it, we basically got unanimous support from the governor's office and 18 separate state agencies. And for the first time ever, the process of issuing debt through the certificate of participation at the state level is done under the treasurer's office. And so this streamlining of issuing debt allows us to have a trigger to look at getting the lowest interest rates. There was no incentive with the agencies to do that in the past. So we had outstanding debt at too high interest rates. Make sure the process for hiring bankers and lawyers is a blind one. And it allows Colorado to track for the first time ever how much aggregate debt we're issuing at the agency level. This year, we've got two transactions in the works that are already saving the state millions and millions of dollars. So hopefully Colorado is actually becoming more transparent, accountable, and responsible when it comes to issuing debt.
Carolyn, thanks for your call. I was asking you, who is this Secure Para, Colorado Coalition for Retirement Security? Those are the folks that put out this email attacking you. What's the Colorado Coalition for Retirement Security?
Well, I don't think they have a line item transparency in terms of who actually funds the lunch bills over there. But I can tell you, it's an organization that is largely funded by Colorado Winds and the Colorado Education Association and the public unions. And the spokespeople are paid to go off and treat me like a pinata and say nasty things about me. There may even be a bonus for the nastier stuff that they can conjure up. The more they get paid in incentive fees. So I've offered to them that I'll go sit in a dunk tank over in front of their offices, and they can just take out whatever bad feelings they have towards me. But the point is, they're not honest brokers of information.
Well, the retirement
in any way,
security,
shape, or form.
The retirement security they're concerned about, of course, is
their own.
But
right.
How about our retirement security if we're going to have less money for our own retirement because we're subsidizing theirs to ridiculous extremes?
Right. Exactly.
Right. WINS, of course, is the state employee union representing 31,000 state employees.
Right.
WINS stands for Colorado Workers for Innovative and New Solutions. They always come up with these wonderful names, but they're, of course, interested in the benefits to their rank-and-file government employees in the union.
Right.
Yeah, and presumably they're looking, since a lot of those people are para members, they want more of my money.
Exactly. And this may be too hopeful or idealistic of me, Mike, but I think Colorado WINS, the Colorado Education Association, those groups should be interested at some point. They're going to have to be interested in the financial security of younger members and new members into their plan. And they're going to have to recognize that the promises made are not promises that are going to be able to be kept. And when that day of reckoning comes, I think it's going to behoove them that they actually proactively roll up their sleeves and work on a solution to this as well.
Here's a letter to the editor in the Denver Post. He says, I'll admit I was skeptical when I was asked to take a benefit cut to my hard-earned yet modest para pension. I followed that Senate Bill 1 pretty closely. There was no cut. There was a reduction in the increase, right?
There was the main part of Senate Bill 1 was a reduction in the COLA, which was a cost of living adjustment, which was an automatic ratchet at 3.5%.
Which, by the way, exceeded the actual cost of inflation, which was about 2%
exactly,
over that period of time.
By 1.5%. So we cut the COLA down from 3.5% to where the rate of inflation is.
So he didn't take a cut at all.
No, there was no benefits cut that were part of Senate Bill 1.
Then he says, even though I had to take less, I'm glad PERA will be an option for them, other prospective state employees, if they choose to enter public service like I did many years ago.
Right.
Well, it'll be an option for them unless it goes broke.
Exactly.
And that's what you and I are trying to prevent. We don't want to kill the whole program. We're stuck with it. Although, for any new hire, I would prefer that that new hire go on a defined contribution plan like a 401k that people in the private sector have, so we don't keep digging a bigger hole.
Exactly. And this affects all sorts of the state's budget. This is inextricably linked to the Education Reform Act of Senator Michael Johnston and the ballot proposal, which is going to hit in November, which is going to be an approximately 33% increase in the money that we've spent on education in the past. And the reason it's inextricably linked, Mike, is that whether you like it or not, I disagree with the governor on this and have told him this many, many times, is that whether you like it or I like it or not, under Colorado law, by January 1, 2017, every school district in the state of Colorado is going to have to spend more than 20% of its budget for teacher salaries into this defined benefit pension plan for PERA. The Denver Public School District is going to have to spend 23.75% of its budget for teacher salaries, an even higher number than the other school districts. But as I've said to people over and over again until I'm blue in the face, these numbers are based on the 8% average return assumption. If you lower the rate of return by 0.5% over the 30-year period, the liabilities of the plan go up 15%. So what was once 20% of a school district's budget for teacher salaries at 7.5% assumed rate of return, like many states, could be 35% of a budget for teacher salaries. At 7%, remember the Bloomberg comment, it's 50%. Of a school budget for teacher salaries until it becomes an unsustainable number, and all the money that was supposed to go to better technology, longer school days, charter schools, whatever, you know, lofty goals the governor was speaking about, ends up getting sidetracked and siphoned off to backfill liabilities in an unsustainable retirement system. And I think all Coloradans should be concerned about this because we want to make sure that if we're asked to make an investment in the future of Colorado education, that the money actually ends up with the kids in the classroom.
One more break, right back on 850 KOA.
NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Military personnel streamline your VA refinance even if you're over 100% equity. No appraisal needed. Call 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Walker Stapleton, State Treasurer, on the show with us. Let's go to Longmont. John, you're on 850 KOA. Hello, John.
How are you?
Good.
I was thinking, if they're so underfunded, why can't us in the private sector bail them out and we can get a para pension too?
Well, you're going to bail them out whether you like it or not, but you're not going to get one of these para pensions.
And John, the common argument used is that we're on para because we're not on Social Security. And geez, what a blessing that would be, right? Most of us have no anticipation of actually getting Social Security.
Well, and even if you get what's promised, it was a bad deal from the beginning and still is. And being relieved of the burden of paying Social Security taxes, which teachers, for example, are, is much to be preferred about having to pay the taxes in exchange for those weak benefits that you get.
Right.
Well, I look at it like these people never quit. They don't have to save for retirement. They don't have to do anything that anybody else does. All they got to do is just live their lives, live as extravagantly as they want to do. And when they retire, hey, free ride. You know, I went to the Adams County School Board meeting, and they get an $85,000 retirement bonus.
You get 100%. If you work for 40 years, which is not uncommon in a career, at 2.5% per year, that multiplies out to 100%, which means you retire at 100% of your highest average salary. Not your average salary throughout your career, but the average of your last few years at the high end.
And that's what overtime does in your last three years.
That's right. They spike it too.
Overtime.
That's exactly right. That's the game.
Hey,
that's
I got
played.
One more question about Betsy Markey. So yeah. If she wins, does she get yet another para retirement from all her other government jobs too?
I think she only served in, first of all, it's important to note there's a primary. We don't actually have an opponent, and I hope the other side dukes it out and has a royal battle. But the Broomfield mayor, Pat Quinn, is also running, and so I don't plan to comment on any opponent until I find out who that opponent will actually be. But she spent one term in Congress, and has taken a government paycheck for about 30 years, and now wants to come back to Colorado and run the state's finances.
But she has solid financial and economic credentials, doesn't she? Isn't she well versed in finances and economics?
I guess enough to vote for cap and trade, the health care mandate, and every single spending bill that came down the
pike. I'm not supposed to comment on her
because she's not in the race yet. Yeah. So,
well, she's had a lifetime of government service. Obviously, she's great with money because she gets it for nothing. Never had to earn it.
Right.
Okay.
Mike, let me give a shameless plug for my reelection effort, which is please, I am the only statewide elected Republican that will be running in the next election cycle for reelection. I need the help of Democrats, independents, Republicans, everybody. And Stapleton for Colorado is our website. Please click on the donation link. I'm all about common sense fiscal solutions for the state of Colorado. I think I have a track record that proves that out. And my list of supporters also prove that out, including the great John Elway, our friend, Mike.
Yes. Let's get one more phone call in Nevada. Dean, you're on 850 KOA. Just a minute left, Dean.
Suggested a private plan for the new
hires, 401k.
If we had a 401k, it could be matched up to 4 or 5%, and I think the taxpayer would come out a lot better.
Oh, way ahead. Instead of 20%.
And what's actually happened in some states is they've actually had to have ballot initiatives that have people pay a greater price than they're paying now to be in a defined benefit or switch over to a 401k, one or the other, but it helps heal the system.
Okay. Dean, thanks for your phone call. Walker, I'm sure we'll have you on the show many times before Election Day. Not necessarily campaign, but just to talk about these issues.
Thank you very much,
and
Mike.
And I'm glad you are there to represent taxpayers. Perhaps we'll have you on soon to talk about the Tabor vote on the education finance bill.
Awesome.
News coming up, followed by Rush Limbaugh. You're on 850 KOA.